from HanselMinutes.com. It's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman. This is Lawrence Ryan announcing show number 276, recorded live Thursday, July 21st, 2011. Support for Hansel Minutes is provided by Telerik RAD Controls, the most comprehensive suite of components for Windows Forms and ASP.NET web applications. Online at www.telerik.com. In this episode, Scott visits Matt Clay and Matt Davis at Earth Class Mail to talk about how they used ScriptSharp compiler to write JavaScript from a C# source.
Hi, this is Scott Hanselman. This is another episode of Hansel Minutes, and I'm over here at Earth Class Mail. I'm talking to Matt Clay and Matt Davis. Matt Davis, how are you, sir?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Not too bad. Give me the elevator speech on what Earth Class Mail does and why I should care.
Basically, we put your postal mail online. So we have addresses all over the country. People can sign up with us, and instead of getting mail in their mailbox, they can change some or all of their mailers to send mail to us. We'll take a picture of the envelope, and once you get a picture of the envelope, we'll deliver it into your email box, and we'll make it available online. You can decide what to do then. So if you want to recycle it, which is what most people do with just about everything, we do that. If you want to shred it, fine. If you want to open it, make a PDF out of what's inside, we'll do that. If you got checks in there, we can deposit them electronically. There's a lot of stuff you can do with it. And then we can ship the stuff out as well, bulk it up, mail forwarding, that kind of thing.
What do you do when you get Netflix? You probably get a lot of Netflix.
People usually are smart enough not to do that, but, you know, it happens once in a while, and they just have to ship them out and figure it out.
Okay, very cool. So I wanted to talk to you guys because I understand that you had a project where you used a thing called ScriptSharp. And ScriptSharp has been around for a long time, and the guy that made ScriptSharp works for Microsoft. And ScriptSharp is basically lets you write C# and make JavaScript. And since I've been talking lately and proposing these ideas around JavaScript on my blog, and I talked to Eric Meyer on the podcast a couple weeks ago, who had Project Volta that did similar kind of things, and I'm starting to see JavaScript IL and high-level language to JavaScript compilers and things like that. I said, well, I could go and find the guy that wrote it, or I could find an actual human who did a real project with it in the real world. So rather than talking to Nikhil, who writes ScriptSharp, I want to talk to you guys. So what did you build with this thing called ScriptSharp?
So we built from scratch, built a mobile UI for Earth Class Mail. So our only mobile experience and mobile story thus far has been we actually had a user that reverse engineered our JSON stuff and wrote his own iPhone app for it and started selling it. And that's been our mobile story for the last few years. And we decided, you know, watching the user agent logs and things, that it was time to do something about that. So we've been watching ScriptSharp since, you know, around like what, 2006. I mean, this is not a new thing, but it finally got to a point where it was really usable when he added all the .NET 2.0 support, generics, you know, some of the anonymous delegates, things like that, that got added recently, and also the Visual Studio development experience has changed pretty recently, so that it's, you know, really useful and really well integrated. That it finally hit a point where it's like, hey, we can really do something with this.
Okay, so Matt Clay, what do I do with ScriptSharp? It's a library, it's a plugin. What is it in Visual Studio, and why do I care?
Well, in Visual Studio, you can create a ScriptSharp class project, and that will allow you to just write regular C# code instead of having your regular MS Core Lib with all your built-in objects. You've got MS Core Lib from ScriptSharp provides similar functionality. And then for access to typical browser functionality, things like the window object or other things, creating HTML objects, you would add a reference to System Web, which is just a ScriptSharp import library. Import library in ScriptSharp is a way of basically declaring a class that represents imported functionality that's already provided by either the browser natively or functionality that's provided by a third-party library, maybe jQuery or some other script. And ScriptSharp needs a way to know what those method signatures, what the objects, what all the properties look like. And so once you've referenced one of those libraries, then you can just write your code in C-sharp syntax. And when it's compiled, it looks very similar to what you've just written, but it's going to be in JavaScript syntax instead.
Okay, so let me see if I understand. So I say file new script shark project. I want a hash table, and I want to do some manipulations of some data structures, but I'm referring not to the hash table in .NET. I'm referring to some script shark stub.
Yes, yeah, they're stubs.
But it doesn't actually have any code in it?
It depends whether or not it's functionality that is more or less provided by JavaScript already. If you've got, seen, you need a datetime object. Okay, there's already a date object in JavaScript. So the datetime object that you see in script sharp essentially maps to the functionality that's provided by the browser. If you need something in a class that is functionality that doesn't directly map to something in JavaScript, there may be some script sharp provided functionality for that. There's a SS namespace that provides functionality that you have to add in, just like whether it was a third-party library or something from script sharp. It's something that came with the browser.
Okay, so there's functionality that, like you said, JavaScript has what they call native objects, and then there's things that I could map, like if I don't have a hash table or some data structure, a linked list, Nikhil, the script sharp guy, could say, you do this manipulation in C sharp, and I will convert it into the appropriate, possibly expanded code in JavaScript to do the same thing. And then there's functionality that neither of them supply, that are totally separate libraries, like jQuery or whatever. Yes. You'd have to have includes.
Yes. And there are certain import libraries that Nikhil has already provided. There's jQuery. That's the biggest one that we've been using, but and there's some other ones that have been contributed from other developers. Because the import libraries are very easy to make.
Mm-hmm. And then when I do build, when I control shift B, JavaScript pops out, or is this all at runtime?
It's at build time, and you actually get there's two compilers involved. There's the regular .NET compiler, so you're still going to get a DLL that's generated.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be useful if you need to reflect over your code, or if you want to be able to reference it in another sharp project. It's just another assembly like you would have for any other .NET project. But then the script sharp compiler also compiles that source code, and it will be what emits the JavaScript.
So C sharp to IL, intermediate language, and then presumably IL to JavaScript?
No, actually script sharp does not process the IL.
Hmm.
Script sharp actually is a compiler, and it will read the same code that the C sharp compiler is using. So
it fans out as opposed to kind of going synchronously here to here. And then,
right.
Interesting.
You can actually end up with situations where you use functionality, say, lambdas in .NET 4. Compiles fine with the C-sharp compiler, and then you get a build error because the script sharp compiler says, hey, I don't support this.
And does it support lambdas?
No. You can do delegates, but the expression syntax is not supported.
Okay.
And none of the .NET 4 features are available in Runtime.
So I write C-sharp that I presumably know, and I get JavaScript out of it, and that JavaScript works just fine in the browser and presumably works well in other browsers. But it's generated in that it was made from a compiler, so I am compiling to JavaScript.
That is correct.
I could look at it as a code generation step. I mean, there's a couple ways philosophically we could think about this. Depends on what works for the audience, and in this case, what works for me, because you're explaining it to me. C-sharp could be considered a domain-specific language, or a pretty broad one, and then we compile to JavaScript. But they're so similar. There's curly braces. I mean, let me throw rocks here a little bit. JavaScript is an extremely expressive language, and there's some impedance mismatch between them. Matt Davis, why would I bother doing this when they're so similar? It's not like we're going from Fortran to JavaScript. We're going from curly brace language to curly brace language.
Well, JavaScript's got a lot of fans, and I'm one of them. It has a lot of really nice, kind of more functional features and dynamic features. It's a pretty cool language, but at the end of the day, when all of our service layer and everything else we do is written in C#, managed code, strong typing, the compiler does a lot of heavy lifting for us as far as making, I think I saw you say the compiler is the first unit test.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's your own quote or if you stole it.
I steal most of my quotes.
Okay. Well, anyway, somebody said that, and I totally agree. That's the very first thing, and it's the earliest thing, and it's the cheapest thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's anything we can do to make our, to make that compiler do more work for us, that's great. And the... the real problem we've run into is that it's a real pain in the butt to refactor JavaScript. When we've got, especially when we've got, you know, we've got a strong type service layer, we've got a lot of metadata available to us, with, you know, so we expose all our stuff as WebHTTP binding, WCF, JSON. So we have a strong service contract that defines everything, you know, all the operations, all the data contracts, everything that we're using. And yet, as soon as we go into JavaScript land to try and consume that stuff, if we're just writing naked JavaScript, we have to duplicate all that stuff so that, you know, we've got those same types available to us in JavaScript. And then if we want to change something over on the .NET side, then we just have to, you know, we're kind of out on our own as far as fixing the JS. We have to just go assume we caught it all, because, you know, find all references doesn't work in JavaScript.
Okay, so there's a couple of things that you brought up there. First, you said that it's hard to refactor JavaScript. And I assume by refactor, you don't necessarily mean like the act of manually refactoring, but it's hard to, there are no JavaScript refactoring tools that are like automated, like ReSharp or CodeRush.
Correct.
Okay. And refactoring needs a lot of insight into the code. I mean, in order to say something like extract method or promote variable, there's a lot of context that is required. And with dynamic languages, it's a little bit harder to do that kind of gleaning.
Yes. Yeah, and you pretty much have to do an exhaustive, you know, I mean, you're using a lot of control F, and that's not the best way to do it. You know, once you've been used to doing this in C#, and, you know, you get all the little nice things when you rename a member on a contract, or you delete something or change something or add something. You know, it's again, if the compiler, you get the, you know, control dot rename member, and it just ripples throughout your code. That's pretty powerful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to do the same thing in JavaScript requires a whole lot of control F, and I don't like coding that way if I can avoid it.
Okay, but then you said that you kind of used my own stolen quote against me, where you said the compiler is the first unit test. Wouldn't, if you had used a proper JS test framework, a JavaScript test framework, whether it be Selenium or something more formal, isn't the idea, the statement when you said refactoring is hard in JavaScript, I think it might be more correct to say refactoring is scary in JavaScript.
That is a much more accurate statement. And that's exactly the reason that, you know, our UI hasn't changed in the last 2 years.
Because you're afraid of it.
Yeah, it's this huge mass of JavaScript. I mean, you know, tens of thousands of lines of JavaScript, I think, in that thing.
So here's where I want to kind of bring it full circle. Is it tens of thousands of lines of script-sharp generated JavaScript that you're afraid of?
Not yet.
Or is this older JavaScript that you wrote?
This is the old stuff. Oh, okay. Stuff we wrote a couple of years ago.
I want to make sure that you haven't painted yourself into a corner and then you're singing about how great it is.
Yeah, a couple of years ago we rewrote all of our old ASP.NET web forms UI into basically, you know, a complete client-side JavaScript thing. And there's a whole lot of JavaScript out there that just we're all really afraid to touch.
So you wrote it without tests, but you wrote it from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So here's the next question, and it's kind of all related. When you're using a high-level language to target a compilation target that is itself another high-level language of, you know, arguably strange syntax, but still there's a Venn diagram between C# and JavaScript, and it probably intersects 80%+. How do you make sure that you're utilizing JavaScript in the most effective way? There's idiomatic JavaScript. Correct ways to do it. Why is it, you know, appropriate to take C# and generate JavaScript? And people are okay with that. But if I said we were going to go and take C# to Ruby, people are like, no, you can't do that. That's like translating English into French. You can't do it. You can only go the other way, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I think the script-sharp is a pretty darn high fidelity compiler. So you can write crappy 1995 era JavaScript in C# just the same way you can write, you know, really nice, elegant modern JavaScript. Pretty much all the features translate. So
touche.
It does pretty well. So you know, if you do need to understand what JavaScript allows, and, you know, script-sharp is not really an answer to that. It's just, it provides you a whole lot more functionality as far as the really being able to consume that metadata that you already have.
This episode of Hansel Minutes is brought to you by Careers 2.0. Careers 2.0 is a new service by our friends at Stack Overflow. You're probably all familiar with Stack Overflow, the online Q&A resource dedicated specifically to programmers and programming-related topics. Well, the team at Stack Overflow created Careers 2.0 to provide you with access to great jobs and introduce you to a bunch of great companies that you might consider working for even if you're not currently looking for a job. Think of Careers 2.0 as a programmer profile. It gives you a platform to show that you're awesome by featuring your proudest contributions to Stack Overflow, GitHub, SourceForge, Bitbucket, anything programming related. You can even add your favorite programming books from Amazon.com. Profiles on Careers 2.0 are free. They're easy to get started, especially by importing your LinkedIn profile. However, there's one catch. Profiles on Career 2.0 are invite only. They did this to keep out the spam and have a high quality environment. Fortunately for you, as a Hansel Minutes listener, I've got your back. Head on over to careers.stackoverflow.com/HM to accept your invitation today. Once again, that's careers.stackoverflow.com/HM. I hope you like it. So, Matt Clay, a number of people on the articles that I've written about JavaScript, I've said things like, it's the assembly language for the web, and when I say, I think it's interesting and neat that you can target JavaScript, like, you know, Google Web Toolkit lets you take Java and compile it into JavaScript, and it seems like that was much more successful than ScriptSharp was. I mean, ScriptSharp has some fans, but it's not as big and prolific as Google Web Toolkit. But some people found that very concept offensive. The idea that I have this layer of abstraction over something that itself really doesn't need abstractions. What do you think about that? That, to layer stuff on top of stuff that doesn't need layers. Remembering, of course, that Nikhil is one of the architects of ASP.NET, a much maligned framework that uses things like view state and layered eventing. I guess what I'm trying to say is, do you see shadows of inappropriate abstractions in ScriptSharp?
No, I don't think so. That was one of the reasons that we picked ScriptSharp, because looking at some of the other tools out there and how they're built, they have a lot of extra weight that they add to your resulting. Mm-hmm. There's extra frameworks that you have to include that provide functionality to try to make the target language something that it's not. And ScriptSharp pretty cleanly maps down to JavaScript. There's not a lot of extra weight that it puts in. There's not a lot of extra functionality that it tries to change and make it behave differently than what you would expect.
See, that's really interesting, because some people have said, and, you know, whether you believe this or not doesn't really matter, but they've said that, you know, well, web forms is trying to make HTTP and HTML work in ways that it is not supposed to. It's bringing support libraries. And often you see these 4GLs, even from small companies, where they're like, yeah, look, you drag and drop this and you hit, remember, Open Laszlo? Do you guys remember that? Open Laszlo I don't know if they're still around, was a 4GL, right, a fourth generation language, where you would go and design your UIs and you'd drag your buttons and you'd hit compile. And it would make a Flash UI and a Java UI and an HTML5 UI. And it was just like, what? You know, how is, you know, what? It was targeting each of those three things. Except in order to do it, it brought along all these support libraries and your buttons had to look like, you know,
I mean, we've seen a lot of that in the past, right? Mm-hmm. Is that particular? I didn't remember that one by name.
You know what I'm talking about?
You've seen that thing all along, right?
Yeah.
You know, Oracle started with this kind of stuff in the like early '90s with their, you know, rad designer stuff, where mm-hmm. you spend 6 months like dragging around a bunch of little boxes and push the button and it poops out your app.
I like to say that it's just like how Henry Ford said, "You can have any color you want as long as it's black." All of these 4GLs are like, yeah, you can have any button working on any platform as long as it looks like this pink and green button that we have standardized on.
Yeah, those things are great. You know, they're great for throwing together an application. But usually the problem is as soon as you hit something that you can't do it. Mm-hmm. You're done.
Right. Once, debug everywhere. So what I was kind of asking Matt Clay, and I'd like to hear what you guys think, is does ScriptSharp bring along other libraries and stuff? Like, first thing you do is install the ScriptSharp library, because it's not really JavaScript, it's magical ScriptSharp script.
Well, there's only one file that's required for ScriptSharp. There's about 25K identified.
Okay.
And that's the MS Corlett.js in the current release of ScriptSharp. And that provides the necessary functionality for things like dictionary and some of the other things that just didn't map cleanly enough directly from C# to JavaScript.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little bit of localization support in there. I know some of those things Mikhail is working on, actually splitting out, it looks like, from what I've seen on GitHub into some separate files so that you can even have more functionality on top of that. It looks like he's trying not to pull up ScriptShark too much with functionality that not all developers are necessarily going to need.
Mm-hmm. And he's working on this now? Like, this is active? You just said GitHub. I figured that this was an application on CodePlex that the world had forgotten that you've used.
Well, he actually has the import libraries and the client-side supporting codes and other things on GitHub.
Mm-hmm.
The compiler itself is not yet open source, so he's still working on that kind of privately. From what I read, it looks like he's trying to add support for more advanced compiler functionality, heading towards being able to support .NET 4 features.
Wow. Interesting, of course, because he chose to do this from source rather than from IL. I'd have to talk to him and find out, unless you know why he chose to compile from C# source to JS source as opposed to from IL to.
Yeah, I don't know the reason he picked that. I was a little surprised myself to see that. When you start reading about ScriptShark, he's got some good diagrams on his site, and that's one of the things that's shown very clearly is that yes, he's compiling directly from the source.
One of the things that I hear when I hear ScriptSharp talked about is like, wow, this is interesting, and this architect at Microsoft did it, but why doesn't Microsoft support it? And one of the things that I've heard talked internally, when I talked, to example, to some of my bosses, the various Scots, plural, that are my bosses, as we go up the Scott chain to the ultimate, the greater Scott. Did you know that they actually refer to us at Microsoft as the lesser Scots? I was at a meeting, and Kira, my friend, was like, "Okay, well, what do the lesser Scots think about that?" So I am in that collective. So one of the greater Scots made the comment that, well, we do support it in that we think it's great, and Nikhil has it, and it's open source. Why should this open source be blessed any more than any other project? So my question to you is, are you comfortable or uncomfortable with the idea that you're just using just yet another project, or do you feel that this is something that Microsoft should like bring into the fold and mess up?
I would certainly like to see more support for it. If anything, give Mikhail an engineering team and say, "Hey, support him. Give him more resources so that this can move along farther." Matt Davis said there, ScriptShark supports most of the language features of C#, but there are a couple of things that we do miss.
Mm-hmm.
Not having support for expressions, not having support for object initializers. That's a big one.
Just from a convenience perspective.
Yeah, convenience. It's not things you can't do. It's things you just have to write a different way. And mm-hmm. we've been really spoiled with the extra functionality, the syntax available on .NET 4. And it'd be really nice to see some of those things.
Matt Davis, do you agree? Do you think that Microsoft should take something like this in, or is it just an open source project and you use it like you would any other?
I'm not necessarily thinking that they should take it in, but I guess it's always the $100 problem, right? I mean, if you've got $100 to spend on .NET languages, like how much would you spend on ScriptShark? And honestly, like other than adding the more advanced .NET 3 and C# 3 and C# 4 features, I don't know that there's a whole lot that really needs to be done. The way that Nikhil's got it put together and integrated in Visual Studio, I mean, it's already got its own project support. They made that so much easier to do in Visual Studio 2010 that, you're seeing a lot more.
How did it work before?
Oh, I've seen some language package stuff. I mean, it was just
like post-build steps and all that kind of stuff?
You mean how did it work previously?
Like, you're saying it's so much better now. How was it before?
Yeah, it had its own little editor window that would pop up inside Visual Studio. Like, it was like a Visual Studio add-in, and yeah, like a little bunch of little post-build steps.
Yeesh.
And event hooks and things that would mm-hmm. really, we looked at it in the past, and it was just like, ooh, this really, you don't get the full editor experience, you don't mm-hmm. get the full IntelliSense. Where in 2010, I mean, it's not really any different.
So you literally just write C#, and JavaScript pops at the other side.
Yeah.
And is the JavaScript any good? I mean, you said that you did this for your mobile site, and this is running on an iPhone now.
It's really it is. It's pretty much one to one. There are those few little things, in dictionary, some of those other things that have a little bit of a translation layer. But really, like the JavaScript, is pretty much line for line debuggable with C Sharp. You know, unfortunately, that
you can debug it. You can step through.
You can step through it in, you know, if you've got it's you're using the browsers.
I see. So you're not
debugging in Visual Studio.
Okay, you're not debugging JavaScript as C Sharp.
Right, but you know, it's pretty linear as far as the you can't match it up quite line number for line number, but you know, it's pretty darn close. If you can find where was this method in my original stuff, then you can find it.
Hmm.
You can find it in the JS.
So it's not dramatically changing things and turning on.
It's very recognizable. You can find if you can find the corresponding line in C Sharp, it's 95% the same.
And is this easy to teach? Are you guys the only two guys that work on this? Or is there other people where you've just brought in and you said, this is Script Sharp and here's how it works?
We have three people that were working on our mobile project, Matt, myself, and Cliff Bowman, another guy. So it went really quickly. It was very, very natural. He picked it up just immediately. And, Matt was the one that was really out in the weeds on this stuff early on. And, I jumped in and started working on it with him and, looking at some of this internal tooling that we had to build to support it and do some of the other things that we wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty easy.
Was it hard to tell your company and your CEO that we want to use this open source project that's not a Microsoft thing, or just does she know?
I think she does.
Because, I'm really trying to advocate for open source, right? And there's a couple of questions I want you to answer. First is, how did you make it happen at the company legally? And then the second one after that will be, are you comfortable with these projects where they're not dead, but they may be done?
I would feel a whole lot better if the Script Sharp compiler was sitting on GitHub. That's one thing that would make me feel a little better about it. But in general, it's like, okay, it works well enough.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't run into any like showstopper bugs. We've run into a few things that we had to work around or things that Nikhil whipped out a fix for really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
In general, it was pretty smooth.
And the reason that you would feel comfortable with that being on GitHub is because if Nikhil gets hit by a bus.
Exactly.
You have that there.
Yeah, if we need to whip out another fix for something, But we haven't seen anything that was like, incorrect JS getting generated or anything like that. I mean, it was usually like a compiler error where there shouldn't have been one,
mm-hmm.
compiler's a little too strict or too loose about something. But, and then as far as making it happen within the company, I mean, the nice thing was that this was basically just kind of an experiment. We kind of sold it as an experiment. And it's like, well, we don't have a mobile UI. We need a mobile UI. Let's just throw something out there as a beta and see what happens. And, literally from, I think it was 7 weeks from the day we downloaded Script Sharp to the day we shipped the beta. It was really, really fast, including building all that internal tooling.
Okay, so for folks that are listening who may be thinking about mobile, we want to make sure that they understand that Script Sharp is not specific to mobile, and there's nothing about Script Sharp that just says, hey, make your iPhone app or your Windows phone app with this thing. It's a C-sharp to JavaScript, translation layer. Why was mobile so attractive to you, and why didn't you just go and use like jQuery mobile or write a mobile UI from scratch with manually written JavaScript?
Well, it's funny you mentioned jQuery mobile, because actually we are using jQuery mobile. So what we ended up doing was just writing an import library for jQuery mobile to take advantage of that functionality.
Okay, so explain that more. An import library for jQuery mobile. What is that again? I know Matt talked a little bit about that, but what did you write to make Script Sharp know what jQuery mobile is?
So, I mean, if you want the analogy, it's probably more like, it's like a C header file, basically. It's the thing that lets you kind of, use the, it describes the metadata of the JavaScript library that you're going to use.
Okay.
So that it can be consumed by C Sharp, so that the compiler in C Sharp knows to flag things as good.
Okay, so let me see if I understand that. Script Sharp doesn't know about jQuery mobile. I want to write jQuery mobile, but I like using Script Sharp. I go add reference inside of Visual Studio, and I point it to my C-sharp version of jQuery mobile, not the actual code, but the shape of it, the header definition, the function definitions.
Exactly.
Then I get IntelliSense, and then I can start writing to jQuery mobile.
Yeah. Oh, IntelliSense on my JavaScript libraries is just so sweet.
But we have IntelliSense. We have that, though.
Support. Yeah, yeah, it's nice. But having it all right there in C-sharp is just...
So you really like this thing. Okay, so then, Matt Clay, this idea that about dead versus done. Like, for example, I'm still running DOSBlog, my old blogging system that Clemens Vasters and a bunch of us worked on, and people keep saying, your project's dead. I'm like, well, no, it's actually done, and it's working quite lovely, Do you get the sense that ScriptSharp is like this actively developed and, you know, powerful community of people? Or is this just something that you know, Nikhil throws a fix at every once in a while? And do you care?
I'd certainly like to see it more active than it is. I think activity has maybe picked up a little bit recently.
Mm-hmm.
With things being on GitHub, I'm not sure exactly how long that's been out there. Sometime after I had started following it a year or two ago, that showed up. And you know, like Matt said, you know, if we could have the compiler out there too, that would, I think, make the community more active. But I can understand Nikhil wanting to keep that a little bit closer until he's had a chance to work through some of the compiler issues for more advanced language support.
But is it, why do people want an open source project to be more active? Is it just the sense of like, hey, I checked for a pulse? You've already both said that it pretty much does everything you want except object initializers and some expression stuff. Why do people want a project like this to look alive, whether it's done or not?
I think it's confidence in the product. Something that's used by a lot of people, you're going to have more confidence that it actually works well, that somebody else has already tripped over and found bugs and they've been fixed, that you're not going to be on the bleeding edge and doing all the experimenting, and, oh, look, we found this, and, well, you know, in a finished product, this shouldn't be this way, and this shouldn't be this way. We ran into, you know, a lot of small issues. Thankfully, there have all been things that we were able to work around very easily. They weren't, like Matt said, showstoppers. But those are things that I can see a lot of other developers encountering and saying, well, this doesn't work, you know, how can I trust this product? So having a more active community, I think, would, at the very least, yield more testing, more bugs, and hopefully then more fixes.
Okay, so last question. Do you guys feel that in a couple of years, you're not going to look back in this code base and say, wow, we shouldn't have had a dependency on this giant thing? What about maybe we should have written our JavaScript from scratch? Or do you feel like you'll look back and you'll have no regrets?
I think we'll look back and have no regrets, absolutely.
What do you think, Matt Davis?
Yeah, I think having the ability to use all these other tools that we use as part of our daily process, you know, FXCop and Incendi, FXCop's the really big one, just being able to run that against this stuff.
FXCop, of course, being a syntax and a rules checker that lets you set up a whole series of rules. I presume you have custom rules that say, you know, this is how we do things here. You're actually doing that FXCop rule against C# that will eventually become JavaScript.
Yes.
So you're enforcing compliance.
Yes. And you know, it's easy. It's easy when, you know, when you're working in a big code base to let things slide. And, you know, there are things that may function just fine, but then you go back and look at it, you know, a few years later and go, oh, you know, this is not the way we did this. Like, how did this slip in here? It just happens. And so it's really nice to have, you know, even the same developer that might have set the rule, you know, you forget and do things the wrong way, you know, when you're working in the same code a year later. So it's nice to have somebody that's checking you on that. As far as that goes, I'll tell you something else. We're working on actually trying to convert a bunch of our old, our legacy JS into C#.
So you're actually taking JavaScript you wrote from scratch and going backwards or forwards, I don't know, sideways.
Yes. Just because it's, again, that code base that I was talking about that we're kind of afraid to refactor. We want the ability to refactor. We want the ability to go back and work in that with some confidence that, you know, that it's going to work without, like, exhaustively testing every little, mm-hmm. you know, every little code path and every little corner. That at least we got the dumb stuff right.
So separate from ScriptSharp, you guys feel good about the idea of JavaScript as a compilation target.
Absolutely. And I mean, to the point that even our UI itself is actually generated into JavaScript. So from some other tools that Matt wrote for this internal stuff, we were using jQuery templating early on, and there were some things that we didn't like about it with in conjunction with ScriptSharp. It worked okay, but there were some things that we thought we could do better. And so Matt ended up writing some tooling around that that, you know, we basically took things that looked like jQuery templates but actually compiled down to ScriptSharp. Okay.
Are you guys blogging about these adventures anywhere where we can point people to?
Not yet. We've been talking about it. I can give you my blog address, and maybe by the time the podcast goes out, we'll actually have something up.
All right. Well, give me everything that you can. We'll put it in the show notes.
Okay.
Very cool. Thank you so much, Matt Clay and Matt Davis here at Earth Class Mail, talking about ScriptSharp and compiling to JavaScript in the real world. This has been another episode of Hansel Minutes, and I'll see you again next week.